Hello, respected viewers, it's George from Ireland. So welcome back to my channel once again. You can see my wonderful kitchen. So I'm speaking about what Putin's plan is for 2023, or well, certainly early 2023. You see where they are now with Russian missiles having rained down on Ukraine today, something like 70 missiles. The Ukrainians claim to have shot down the great majority of them. So obviously into early 2023, continuing that. And Russia's strategy, certainly as in the winter, is civilian energy infrastructure with the objective of starving Ukrainian civilians, sorry, freezing Ukrainian civilians to death because temperatures are mostly sub-zero. And for an infant, for an elderly person, someone who's ill, even with all the blankets in the world, that can kill you. It's just so medical equipment can't function because there's no electricity, no lighting, no pumped water, and things like that. So there's partly to murder Ukrainian civilians by this war crime, by this blatant breach of the Geneva Convention. It's also to stampede Ukrainians west into the European Union and to stretch the European Union's ability to accommodate refugees to breaking point, and indeed public goodwill, because the European Union welcome 1 million Ukrainian refugees, maybe 10 million Ukrainian refugees, but beyond that, some public opinion will swing the other way, and people will say, even if I feel sorry for them, there's just too many. We just can't help them. And the other thing is, by depopulating Ukraine, you make it empty, not really worth defending. Ukrainian soldier, I'm willing to defend this place, my home. But if my wife and children have gone to wherever, well, is it my home anymore? Maybe I'll just go with them. And some of these Ukrainians will find that life is so good in Western Europe, they're making so much more money, they won't want to move home. But then obviously Russia would, even though they conquered Ukraine, would lose its most precious economic resource, its people. So anyway, Ukraine is at least increasingly happy about its ever more sophisticated air defenses, shooting down most missiles, but can't stop them all. A few missiles, a few drones get through. So that's they're going to be diminishing returns on that strategy for Russia, partly as Ukrainian air defenses are destroying more missiles, and partly because the Russians just don't have many missiles left, having to use the more antiquated ones, having to buy them from Iran. I mean, are they paying cost price? Is it really worth it for Iran, which might have achieved some rapprochement with Western countries, might have got some easing off on sanctions. But on the other hand, look at the Iranian point of view, maybe that wasn't going to work. They have to escalate to de-escalate because there was no sign the Biden administration was going to reduce the sanctions. And I think perhaps that was a mistake by the Biden administration. Could have offered the olive branch. So long as you don't cooperate with the Russians, we will reduce the sanctions. On the other hand, the United States could threaten the Iranians. If you ship more weapons to Russia, we could tighten the sanctions. There's not much tighter you can go. They're almost 100%. Already there could be airstrikes, not a full-scale ground war. So a combination of stick and carrot might have worked there. But another reason why that Russia hitting the civilian energy infrastructure is not really going to work for them in 2023 much longer is say by March, the weather's warming up and being without heating will be less and less of a problem. Obviously, we get to say sort of like November 2023, it'll be a problem again, but that's a long way off. That's like 11 months away. The wars will be going on for not quite 10 months. Another factor is next year, Ukraine is supposed to be connected to the European electric grid. Now, the war has made slowed that down because it's perilous. On the other hand, it's made it more urgent. So, will it happen in 2023 after all or not? I'm not sure. I'm guessing a bit. I don't think it's binary. So, Russia thinks it could break civilian morale, but that doesn't seem to be working. Now, public opinion is not monolithic. And there's some faint hearts who'd say, okay, I can't take it. I surrender because I'm freezing. I'd probably be one of those. And there's some really stout hearts who will fight to the bitter end. And obviously, there are people who are some way in between. Anyway, so Russia's probably going to continue this war of terror aimed at civilians. And I think it's actually quite imbecilic because supposing all those drones, all those missiles, all that artillery they aimed at solely at military targets, they would have achieved a lot more. So carry on hammering away at Bakhmut, thinking sheer weight of metal will tell. And numbers, of the something like 460,000 people they tried to mobilize this September, at least 150,000 of them rushed to the front with minimal training, poorly equipped, and just numbers, even of bad soldiers, has some effect. has at least slowed the Ukrainian advance. Others have been trained more carefully, perhaps better equipped, and they'll be thrown into the fray in March 2023 when the campaigning season really gets going towards the end of, well, maybe end of February 2023. So, Ukraine is appealing for more arms to safeguard Europe, saying, you know, it's us today, it's you tomorrow. If you don't stop Putin here, then other nation states will fall victim to his barbarism. And of course, that's true. So it seems to be a long war strategy of the Russians. They can just string it out, saying that the West has got no staying power, there's no resilience. That's one of the main lessons that Putin learned from Afghanistan. Did this embolden him? On the other hand, the withdrawal from Afghanistan allows NATO countries to pivot here and there. They've got tens of thousands of troops they didn't before that they're able to dispatch wherever it is. They learned some valuable, perhaps some painful lessons from Afghanistan. So I know they had to leave behind some equipment for the Afghan army, which actually rapidly fell into Taliban hands. So what else was I going to say? So the Russians hope to take Bakhmut, which they think is the gateway to the whole of Donbass, to renew their offensive where they can. They would obviously like to make Ukraine a landlocked country, but I just don't see how they're going to get over the Dnieper River, having retreated to the east of it. They may well attack from Belarus again. Remember, before this war began, these warmongers on Russian TV repeatedly bragged that Russia would take Kyiv within 48 hours. 10 months later, they're nowhere even near Kyiv. So, but they stationed more troops in Belarus, and they've also said openly that they are in joint military exercise with Belarus. So they may attack over that northern frontier again, and Belarus might come in the war on their side because Russia's got very few cards left to play, and that's one of them. Interestingly, there was nuclear rhetoric last week from Putin. We hadn't heard any of that for about 6 weeks, and I thought that there would be a weapons of mass destruction attack by the end of this year, even if on a huge scale way, something chemical, biological, even a battlefield nuclear weapon. But that didn't happen because I thought Putin was warned off behind the scenes. He was obviously convinced that the costs would outweigh the benefits, the repercussions that would be dreadful, whatever NATO was going to do, maybe long-range weapons to the Ukrainians, maybe confiscating all Russian assets abroad, maybe China and India say even we'd stop buying energy from that point, something like that. And so he's come back to the nuclear rhetoric, which is oddly actually reassuring because it's a sign of how desperate it is, how he recognized the conventional war is going so badly for him that he's been obliged to resort to that. Now, it doesn't mean that Russia's near defeat. They've got huge reserves of manpower. They've got lots of weapons, even though they're actually quite poor quality, not well maintained in terms of tanks and artillery and so on. And so that they just think they can keep up this slogging match. So the Ukrainians can't outnumber the Russians, but that they can outfight them, especially if they're given higher quality weapons by Western countries. And I just think that the Western will is flagging a little bit. It's not about to collapse, but the Russians think if they can string this out, the Western attention span is that of a mayfly. People will get bored. They'll be worried about their own economic well-being, saying just can we really afford to go on paying this when our people are suffering so much economically with high inflation? Can we pay the high oil and gas prices? Can we afford to pay for the Ukrainian military and so on? Unemployment is fortunately very low in Western European countries. And okay, there's some Ukrainians in Central European countries like Poland or Romania. But if unemployment were to spike, they'd say they're taking our jobs and blah, blah, blah. But at the moment, there's still considerable reserves of goodwill. And there's only been a small diminution of this. So really, it's to carry on Russian strategy. Recap is to carry on hammering the energy infrastructure, certainly in the early months of 2023. Possible attack from Belarus towards Kyiv in the spring. Try and retake the coast, but that's unlikely to work. Obviously, taking Bakhmut is key, but just numbers are going to work when they properly trained up more conscript. Maybe another wave of mobilization, not for a few months, because the Russian army can scarcely absorb their conscript as it is, to inveigle Central Asian migrant laborers to join the military, things like that. And interestingly, so was some BBC Russian service, and I think it was one of the independent Russian media outlets, I think it was Medusa, published an analysis recently of over 10,000 confirmed battlefield deaths of Russian soldiers from open sources about, you know, funerals here and there, with loads of information, name, age, often rank, cause of death, where they died. As we know, it's rural, working class, ethnic minority Russia, which has overwhelmingly suffered. St. Petersburg and Moscow have suffered proportionally very, very little indeed. So this is, you know, the poor who have been sent into the conflagration. They're the cannon fodder. They're regarded as disposable by Putin and the elite. It's, you know, the sons of the wealthy. They are virtually never in harm's way. So that's it. I mean, I think even Putin would realize that he can't win this war for another several months at best. And what does that mean, taking over the whole of the country? If he could, he would. If it could formally absorb it into Russia, he would do that. Failing that, he would have it as a satrapy. He would have it sort of even more integrated than Belarus. Anything towards those goals is, again, remember a few months we were talking about an off-ramp for him, and he doesn't appear to want to go for it. You know, some people said about negotiating, and perhaps to my surprise, he doesn't do that. He has talked about, you know, maybe agreeing a ceasefire recently, but not willing to make any significant concessions. Now, why is he even publicly mulling over a ceasefire? I suppose because he's knowing it's going badly. He wants to regroup. He wants a breather, a time to beef up his armed forces, to reorder. So maybe this is precisely the time not to give him any let up, you know. Right. Thank you so much for my channel. Goodbye.